Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, up Dumbarton Road. You'll come to the police station, opposite the police station, go up the hill there, and you'll come to Thornwood Primary School, and we are next door on the crossroads. We meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day, at 11 a.m., and again at 6 p.m. and we meet also on Wednesday at 7:30. And yes, we do know it's Friday this afternoon, and that's why we come out, because we normally come out on the streets on Fridays. We don't confine ourselves to our church buildings. We have an open-air pulpit, and we're glad for the freedom of speech that we enjoy in this country. And this freedom of speech has been won for us by our Christian forefathers, and we're delighted to avail ourselves of this privilege. We acknowledge that if we were in other countries, some well-known countries, very rich countries, you wouldn't be allowed to go in the street and to preach about the Lord Jesus. You wouldn't even be allowed to have a Bible. They're so afraid of the truth that they ban it. And this is the way that things are going as far as Scotland is concerned. They don't want to hear the truth. And there's some kind of bill being proposed which would deny or seek to deny people the right to proclaim the truth as it is in Jesus. Well, we have, or we should say, our forefathers have fought hard for this right and for this privilege. And we delight in being able to come out and to bring to you the message of the gospel. And we do it, friends, because we have been commissioned. The Lord Jesus Christ commissioned his early disciples and apostles to go forth and to proclaim the gospel. And they did it as far as they were able to do in their lifetime. And what a wonderful job they did. They didn't have modern communications like we have, and they weren't able to travel like we are able. But they took up that commission, and as far as humanly possible, they went out and proclaimed the gospel. But we want to take up their mantle and go forth. And that's why we come out this afternoon, to bring the good news of the gospel, because we have been commissioned by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ to bring this gospel to you. And we also come out because there is widespread ignorance concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the Christian gospel. And many people despise the Bible, despise the Christian gospel, and they've come to that opinion because they have been listening to second-hand information, and they've never really thought about the matter themselves. How sad that is, friends, when you let someone else think for you. You're made in the image of God, and one of the things that God has given to you is a mind, that you might reason, that you might read and think and ponder for yourself. And this is what we would urge you to do. We believe many of you will have Bibles in your homes. You might struggle to find them. They might be in an odd corner or in a cupboard that you hardly go into. But you'll have a Bible. Well, why don't you pick up your Bible and begin to read it? Because the Bible is God's word, it's God's revelation, it's God's message to mankind. And there, judge Christianity according to the word of God. Well, friends, we're here because we want to tell you about it. And what is Christianity all about? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Many people think that the Lord Jesus has come to save the righteous, to save good people. Well, if that was the case, he would save no one. No one would be saved. Why? Because there are no good people. This is something the Bible teaches us, and we find it so offensive to think that the Bible's verdict upon us is not compatible with our verdict upon ourselves. We think we're something else. We think we're great. We think that God owes us something. And we think that when we'll die, that obviously God will accept us and he'll take us into heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we've all missed the mark. We're not what we thought we were. And the Bible tells us we cannot save ourselves. We cannot get ourselves right with God. We have a major, major problem that we cannot overcome and we cannot deal with it. And to add insult unto injury, we don't want to deal with it. Such is our depravity by nature that we're happy to have this problem. We're happy to bear its consequences. But God has done something about it. God has taken the initiative. Does not the Bible say, you'll know this verse, I'm sure, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Many people think that the Bible's out to condemn people. The Bible is first out to inform us and to tell us our true state and condition before God. And we find that offensive. We acknowledge the gospel, if it's properly proclaimed, will be offensive to us. And if we're not offended by the gospel, then I put it to you, you're not hearing the real gospel. But the gospel wants to offend us in order that it might amend us, in order that it would drive us to one who can save us. That's the difference. The gospel indeed wants to tell you that you're sinners and you need to be saved and you cannot save yourself. But it wants to point you to another who can save and who is willing to save and who's able to save to the uttermost. And that's why the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He did not come into the world to condemn sinners, but to save them. But in order to be saved, we must come to the Lord Jesus. And we'll never come to the Lord Jesus until we recognize our need. You won't go to a doctor or a dentist unless you have a problem. If your teeth are fine and there's no pain, you might go for a checkup, but you won't create an emergency appointment if you have no pain. If you're feeling fit and healthy, you won't go to the doctor. No, you won't trouble him. Why? Because you don't need him. That's why. This is the way it is with us. We have to be brought to that realization that we're in need of salvation, that we're in need of something. And that's why we have a preacher. That's why the preacher comes out. That's why the preacher tells you what it is, the gospel. That's how he goes out. And he will tell you things that maybe you'll not like to hear but nevertheless you must hear. We're told in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is the job of the preacher. The preacher's one is to come out and he's to tell you about a person. He's to tell you about that glorious person. The person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are to believe upon him. You are to trust upon him. But how will you ever trust upon him? And how will you ever believe upon him unless you hear about him? You won't hear about him in Greg's or Timberland or any other shop. You won't hear about him in the dance hall. You won't hear about him at the music festival. You won't hear about him maybe even if you go to church today. In many Christian churches, you will never hear about the Lord Jesus, or you will never hear about the authentic gospel. And that's one reason why we would come out this afternoon, that you might hear even a snippet of the gospel. Because you must believe upon him. And you cannot possibly believe upon someone you've never heard about. And that's why we want to come out to introduce this person to you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, "Of whom I am the chief." Now you might find that surprising. If you know anything about Christianity, you will know that the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived. Yet he said this, that he is the chief of sinners, when he was the greatest Christian. Is there a problem there? No. He was a great sinner, and he still was a great sinner, but he had a great Savior, one who's able to save to the uttermost. And this is the reason, friends, why many of you are simply walking by, or shaking your head, or not accepting a tract, and thinking that the poor preacher's lost his marbles, because you have no idea that before God you have sinned. God has given us his law. He's given us the law, the Ten Commandments. We're urged to obey these commandments. In fact, we're commanded to keep them, yet we cannot keep them. It's impossible for us. We have broken all of these commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Bible says. That's the first commandment. We've broken that commandment. The likelihood is, as you pass by this afternoon, that you yourself are your God. You think more about yourself than you do about anybody else. Or maybe it's your sport. Or maybe it's your entertainment. Or maybe it's your wife. Or your husband. Or your spouse. Or your partner, whatever. Whatever you think about, most of all, is your God. And is it true? Do you think about the God who made you and who loved you and who has given life to you? Do you think about that God at all? No. You probably never give him a thought. You never think about him at all. And therefore you've broken the first commandment. You have other gods, multitude of gods, and you don't worship the one true and the living God. This is idolatry. And when you've broken one commandment, you've broken them all. There's no difference. And therefore we are sinners. We have broken the law of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We're seeing an awful lot of young people today, and I assume, I could be wrong, but I would assume most of them are heading towards the music festival. They'll be there maybe tonight, tomorrow, on the Lord's Day, Sabbath day, they'll be there. And they'll be delighting in these things. And the Bible gives us this exhortation. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, the music festival will come and go. The drinking, the dancing, the revelry, maybe the drug taking as well. I don't know what goes on. But all these pleasures will come to an end. And all the problems that you had before you went to the music festival will be there. Well, we want to tell you a better way. Because that way is the way, the broad road that leads to destruction. But there's another way. It's the narrow way. It's the way of the Lord Jesus. It's the way of the gospel. It's the way of taking up the cross. What does that mean? It doesn't mean walking about with a cross on your back or wearing a piece of jewelry. What it means is to be associated with the Lord Jesus, to bear His reproach, to side with Him. That's what it means. And that's life, because the Lord Jesus has said to us in the Word, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, you think you might have life going about doing all your things and looking for entertainment tonight. You may well think that's life, that's what life's all about. No, friends. Life is about preparing for eternity. Life is about having your sins forgiven and being reconciled to God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what life's all about. And we only have this time to get right with God. This is a day of probation. This is the opportunity. This is the day of grace, when God extends His mercy to you in His Son, the Lord Jesus. That's why the gospel is being proclaimed to you, that you might close in with Christ today while it's still the day and the time of opportunity. Because the day will come, friends, when there'll be no opportunity. The day will come when there will be no gospel. There'll be no preachers telling you to repent and believe. The day will come, friends, when no one will pray for you. That will be the end. What will that day be? That day is a day of judgment. That day is coming. I'm not looking when, sir. I don't know when it will be. But I know it will be. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's the day it's coming, friends. The day of judgment. And I'm telling you something you know, because the book tells us, the Bible tells us, that you know about this. It's all part of God's image that He has implanted in you. For you are made in the image of God, and you know there's going to be a day of judgment. And we want to prepare you for that day. For we must all appear, everyone. It doesn't matter how young or old or how long we've lived. It doesn't matter what we've done. We'll appear before the great seat of Christ. That day will come. Are you ready for it? Now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to get your sins forgiven. Now's the time to seek the Lord. Now's the time to call upon Him. Today is the day of salvation, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We want to persuade you there's a better way. By nature, every one of us, there's no excuse, there's no difference. By nature, all of us We're born and we're on that broad road that leads to destruction. But God in Christ has created another way. It's the narrow way. It's the way that few find. But that way will bring us to life. And the young people are to remember that. And they are to give their lives to the Lord in the days of their youth, before the evil days come. And these days will come sooner than you think. Because youth is very brief. Soon it will be middle age. Then old age. Then what? It's eternity. 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 Where will you be in eternity? That's what matters. You know, when the time comes for your funeral, it doesn't matter what a minister will say. It doesn't matter what the humanists will say. It doesn't matter how much they praise you and how much they say you were a good woman, a good girl, or a good boy, or a good husband, or a good employer. It doesn't matter what they'll say about you. It won't matter. It won't change anything. What matters is, are you in Christ or not? Do you have a Savior or not? That's what matters. And that's why we come out this afternoon to tell you, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Paul there is telling the Athenians, the wise men of Athens, he's telling them of the judgment day, and he's telling them that the judge has been appointed. Who is the judge? The judge appointed is Jesus Christ. And this judge was dead, but now he's been brought to life, and he can no longer die. He's the one you'll stand before. You know, today we proclaim Him as Savior. We tell you to close in with Christ today. But on that day of judgment, He will not be your Savior unless you know Him. And you can know Him today. And the only way you can know Him is to come to Him, to believe upon Him, to trust Him, to call upon Him. Will He accept you? Yes. He will always accept the penitent. The gospel call, the gospel command is repent and believe the gospel. He will receive the truly penitent. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Our God, the one true and the living God, the God of the Bible, is a God that delights in mercy. But it's only to the penitent. It's only to those who will accept salvation on His terms. And His terms are clear. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent from your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. We're glad to be here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We're going to close our time here today. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, Upton Barton Road. You'll come to the police station there. Opposite the police station, go up the hill. You will first come to Thornwood Primary School. And we are next door at the crossroads, 2 Thornwood Terrace. We meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And we meet also on Wednesday at 7:30. And we extend a warm welcome to you. We're a local congregation. We're a Scottish registered charity. And by the grace of God, We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And may God be pleased to bless his word to you this afternoon.